Little trouble lining up. Oxendine is ready. Tyler under center wants a quick pass. Smith has it. Breaks away. First down and more. Inside the 10. Dives for the pylon. Loses the ball and scores. And scores. Touchdown. Patrick Henry, Patriots. But Lee Davis is going to get the ball back with plenty of time. In a tie game, Martinez kicks it away. It's high. It's as deep as he can drive it. It's Coffee at the 15, 20, 25, 30. Got a blocker, 40. Midfield into Patrick Henry territory. And he is gone. He's gone. Touchdown, Lee Davis Confederates. And there are no flags.
Everybody doing okay? Everybody enjoy your Friday night? I know some people did and some did not. It was a wild Friday night, as we knew it would be. And while I vamp for time for just a couple of seconds, got to give a shout out to Lee Davis and Patrick Henry. Just an incredible tomato bowl tonight to wrap up our regular season. Could not have asked for a better game. And it ends up with the play of the night. Being the 85-yard touchdown return by Jamon Coffey. Now, let me set it up for you if you weren't listening, weren't with us, or were at another game and didn't have us up on our feed at TuneIn on your mobile device, the TuneIn radio app. Patrick Henry had finally driven down the field, scored on a 21-yard pass from Tyler to Caleb Smith, which was really just kind of a swing screen. And Caleb Smith earned like 17 of the 21 yards. I mean, it was just a phenomenal play by Caleb. And he reached out at the very last second, got in the end zone, got the touchdown. Extra point by Martinez tied things up. And that set up the play. And we'll have a recording of both of these touchdowns in the produced version of Central Region Now that you can download either later tonight or first thing tomorrow at the top of all of our websites, including RVASportsNetwork.com. But he took the ensuing kickoff at the 15, and Coach Ryan Turnage told us on the RCI Builders postgame show he had a similar opportunity in the first half, and he kind of tiptoed and was hesitant, and his coaches told him at halftime, when you see that hole, bust it. Bust it open. He said Coffey had won a 100-yard dash against the fastest coach on the team in practice on Wednesday. And so they were telling him, don't be afraid. And you've got the speed, so you hit the hole. They're not going to stop you. And that's exactly what happened. Coffey hit the hole. Great job on the blocking to give him the opportunity. And he outraced the Patriots to the end zone. And it was such a counterpunch to the Patriots finally getting a punch. That at that point you thought, okay, really advantage Lee Davis, but Patrick Henry had finally found its offensive footing, and with 4:03 to go, had plenty of opportunity to drive down the field, get a touchdown, maybe force overtime. And they almost did it. They got in very good field position, deep in Lee Davis territory, but then the wheels kind of fell off to Quan Hoggard. A shout out to you, young man, with a tremendous individual defensive play late in that drive to make it third and long, fourth and long for Patrick Henry. And the final play was Tyler throwing it up, hoping he could find somebody in the end zone. And he overthrew his intended receiver and into the arms of Brandon Spencer, who got the interception in the end zone. Lee Davis took a knee. And the Confederates are Hanover County champions. They have won the Tomato Bowl for the third time in 4 years and for the second straight time at Patrick Henry. The Tomato Bowl, due to a scheduling quirk when they moved Patrick Henry from the Colonial to the Capital District, had been played in Mechanicsville each of the last 2 years. So this was the first Tomato Bowl in Ashland since 2013. Lee Davis won that one, too. So the Confederates had won 3 out of 4 in the Tomato Bowl. Lee Davis wins it 14-7 in a phenomenal game. And I know some of you think, oh, 14-7. I'm a defense fan. I love good defense. And if you give me a football game where there's great defense, I'm all over it. And so we had a very good game. Not a lot of penalties. One or two kind of key, but nothing major. It was well played. And one of the better Tomato Bowls we've had in the 15 now that we've broadcasted live on WHAN radio. So Lee Davis off to the 5A South postseason, Patrick Henry to 5A North. And speaking of which, that's exactly what I'm trying to confirm right now as we start the podcast. So you bear with me for just a second while we talk a little bit about the night's action. And I will be able to give you an idea, because we talked about it extensively on the RCI Builders postgame show. Would Patrick Henry get a home game in the first round of the playoffs? And while I walk through this, I'll talk to you as I walk. North Stafford began the night at 247 points, 4 points ahead of Patrick Henry. They lose to Mountain View, so they get 16 points for the loss. We know they were going to get 2 for the Osborne-Osborne Park game because they beat both teams. They were going to get 2 for Stafford-Potomac because they beat both teams. They needed Patriot to beat Battlefield. They needed Battlefield, to beat Patriot, and that did not happen. Patriot shut out Battlefield 21-0, so 2 huge points there gone. Freedom upsets Colonial Forge. They needed Colonial Forge to win to get 1 point. That's gone. Massaponics Brook Point, they were guaranteed 1 point. So 16 plus 2, 4, 5 is 21, is to what I see here. Let me try it again. 2 points, 4 points, 5 points. That is correct. So that's 21. So they finish at 268 points. Patrick Henry began the night again 4 points behind at 243. They get 20 points for the loss to Lee Davis, because it's 12 points for losing to a 5A school and 8 points, one for each win against a non-defeated opponent. Lee Davis is 8-2. 12 plus 8 is 20, so we knew they were going to get that. They did not get anything out of Caroline. They did not beat Cortland. They got 2 points out of Glenn Allen beating J.R. Tucker. That was huge. They got 2 this afternoon when Mills Godwin beat John Marshall. And they knew they were going to get 2 from Atlee Armstrong and Hanover Henrico because they beat all 4 teams, and they knew they'd get 1 out of Highland Springs Verina because they lost to both teams. So 20 plus 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 is 29, plus 243 is 272 points. Excuse me. So we know Patrick Henry, even in the defeat, because they beat a 7-2 team, North Stafford lost to Mountain View, who's 3-6, now 4-6, and could be the best 4-6 team in Virginia. You remember Mountain View last year. They were on our game of the week in the first round of the 2015 playoffs when they hosted Atlee. We made the trip to Stafford County, and we had that incredible final 3 minutes of action where both teams scored 2 touchdowns, Atlee scoring the final one with 6.6 seconds left to win, to upset a 10 over a 7. 38-35, but we were amazed at the work of quarterback Alonzo Tweedy of Mountain View. Well, he got hurt early in the season and was out, and that's why they suffered so many defeats. They were on a big losing streak. They got Tweedy back, and they have finished very strong. And whoever Mountain View ends up playing in the first round, even though they're one of the top teams in 5A North, good luck to you, because that's going to be it's not going to be a battle worthy of a 215, a 116, or a 314. It's just not. Because you've got a battle-tested playoff team coming in with their quarterback back and they're playing their best football. It's not even close. Now, Briar Woods began the night 10th, 1 point behind Patrick Henry at 242. They lost to Stonebridge. That's 20 points. They get 1 point for Broad Run beating Tuscarora. They needed Tuscarora to win, because they beat Tuscarora, they would have gotten 2 points. South County and Lake Braddock. Excuse me, we need to check on that. So we got a few scores we got to check while we're talking to you live. As we do that, we'll talk about 5A South, because that's the big one. That's what everybody wants to know, because it involves the most teams in the area. Number one Highland Springs stays number one. They get the win tonight over Verina, 45-26. They are the number one seed in 5A South by our projections. They have 332 points. And there was no way that L.C. Byrd, Hermitage, or Douglas Freeman could catch them at 332, because their maximum output could be 328. So Highland Springs, by the benefit of the win, with Hermitage, Norview, Atlee, Henrico, Lee Davis all winning, that gives them 44 points added to 288, and you're at 332. And the road to the state championship will again go through Kreider Stadium. And they had a wild first half over there at Verina. It was only a two-point game, but Verina didn't score after halftime. And Highland Springs put them away. The defense getting the job done after making the adjustments at intermission. So congratulations to them. They finished 9-1, and they're the number one seed. The number two seed is a tie right now. We project that both LC Bird and Hermitage have finished at 325 points. How you break the tie? Well, they didn't play head-to-head. So then you've got to start looking at things like common opponents, etc. And the big common opponent is Manchester. Hermitage beat Manchester. Manchester beat LC Bird. And so if that is the one indicator and the one tiebreaker, Hermitage will be the two seed and LC Bird will be the three. And that is huge because if they both win in the first round, here we go again. LC Bird has to come to Hermitage. Now, you'll remember last year. That's how it worked out. That's what happened. But because of rain that we had in the area and the condition of Chester Fritz Stadium's field, the game got moved up to Randolph-Macon College on the fast synthetic turf surface. And that was a wonderful place to play a football game. And Hermitage got the win and ended the three-year reign of LC Bird in 5A South. And in 5A overall, being the three-time defending champions at that particular point. So congratulations again to both of those teams for having such a great season. Both finished 9-1. Hermitage finishes on a nine-game winning streak. They beat Highlands, they lose to Highland Springs on opening night. They come back and they win 9 in a row. LC Bird, they suffered only the loss to Manchester. They take care of everybody else. No problem there. And there you go. So they are tied for second, but if the tiebreaker is head-to-head against competition, since they did not play each other, you have to look at common opponents, and the common opponent for Hermitage and LC Bird would be both Meadowbrook and Manchester, actually, and Hermitage won, and LC Bird won over Meadowbrook, but Manchester's the breaker. Hermitage beat Manchester, Manchester beat LC Bird. So we project they finish in a tie, but Hermitage should get the two, and LC Bird should get the three. Douglas Freeman, by virtue of the loss tonight, will end up at four. And they will host number five Lee Davis in a 4-5 game for the second consecutive year. Lee Davis clinched the five seed. They could not get in the top four mathematically entering the Tomato Bowl tonight, and they knew that, so they were playing to confirm a five seed, try to stay away from the big three going into the playoffs in the first round. If you can play the weaker four seed, and that's no offense to you, Douglas Freeman, but you did just lose to Hermitage tonight big. People would rather face you at home than go to Chester Fritz, Chester, or Kreider Stadium. It's just a fact. It's just the way it is. So congratulations to Douglas Freeman on a fantastic season. I felt bad for them because of the fact that they weren't able to finish 10-0. They had them at home. They thought this was their chance. They had some injury issues tonight, and that was one factor. But Jordan Hall was the biggest factor of the night. He ran wild on the Douglas Freeman defense like no one has all season long. And, of course, you know, Freeman didn't face Wesley Duggar because by the time they played Mills Godwin, Duggar was out for the season. So again, the loss for Freeman puts them at the four seed. They will host Lee Davis in the 4-5 game next week. And the winner of that, of course, if Highland Springs win their first round game, then it will be the winner of Freeman and Lee Davis having to go to Highland Springs, excuse me, in the second round. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Back to 5A North. I'm still running the numbers. 20, 21, 22, 23, 25, 27, 28. 28 points tonight for Briar Woods puts them at 270. We know that Tuscarora lost, and so they get 1 point out of the one game. We're trying to figure out where Atlee is in the bottom. We project, And we can confirm, we've run the numbers four times now. We feel very confident that it will be Patrick Henry versus Briar Woods in the 8-9 game next Friday at Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry finishes with 272 points. Briar Woods has 270 points. and North Stafford at 268. There was a time back on our postgame show, you may have heard us saying by 1 point. That was because at the time we were still waiting on some final scores. And if South County had defeated Lake Braddock tonight, Briarwoods would have had 271. North Stafford needed Battlefield to beat Patriot. That didn't happen. And they needed Colonial Forge to beat Freedom, and that didn't happen. They were upset by Freedom. And so they lost 3 points there. But the best they could do was 271 as of 10 o'clock tonight, 9:30 tonight when we were on the postgame show. And Briar Woods, we thought, could go as high as, well, their maximum number, excuse me, was 290. So they could have gotten a whole lot more. But by losing tonight and then with finals going the way they did, they end up at 270. So our projection is number 9, Briar Woods, at number 8, Patrick Henry, in round 1 of 5A North. That will be next Friday night. Again, the official Virginia High School League scores will come out, and they'll have the pairings for the first round of the playoffs no later, the office said today, than noon on Sunday. That's, again, 12 noon on Sunday is what we are looking at for getting the official numbers. You're listening live to the Central Region Now Live podcast, the end of regular season edition from the RBA Sports Network, as we run the numbers and give you as quickly as possible the latest playoff projections. And we are literally, as you join us, we are literally still working on 5A North. So we appreciate your patience as we kind of talk through this. We're looking at Tuscarora right now, who lost tonight. Let's see, 2021, that's 22, 24, 26, so that would be 262, and possibly two more. Orange beat Fluvanna tonight, and they are able to get, let's see, how many bonus points they're able to get. Ooh, not a whole lot. 26, 27, 28, 29, 30 points only. So they cannot catch Tuscarora. Atlee beats Armstrong tonight. They score all 42 points in the first half, win 42-14 to finish at 5-5. Now they are going to get, let's see, 24 points for the win. They get 2 points for deep run winning, 1 point for Godwin winning, so that's 27. Nothing for Freeman. 1 point for Highland Springs, so that's 28. 1 point for Lee Davis is 29, and 2 for Henrico, so that's 31. And they will finish at 256 points. Now, the thing we need to know the most is Falls Church and J.E.B. Stewart. That's the big final that we're looking for. Once we get that, we'll be able to see if Falls Church overtook Atlee for that 13 seed, and if Atlee will fall to the 14 seed. If they do, then that, kind of changes things. And yes, Falls Church won tonight. They defeated J.E.B. Stewart. So they get 32 points for the win. That puts them at 254. And we know that they get 2 from Marshall and T.J. of Alexandria. We know they get 2 from Robert E. Lee of Alexandria and Wakefield. Let's see, Oakton and Herndon. We've had that score here before, and looking for it now, there it is. Yes, Oakton won, so they get 1 point for that. So that is 32, 34, 36, 37. That ties, no, it doesn't, no, it actually ties them with Orange is what it does. excuse me, but the what it does do is that it pushes Atlee to 14. So 254, we know they have at least 259 plus some others. So Orange and Falls Church will battle for the 12 and the 13 seed. The one thing, though, we do need to double check, and I don't think it's possible. No, it's not. For Mountain View, and that was if they could get there. So 256 is Atlee's total, and Marshall can't get to it. Let's see, nobody else in contention could get the 256. So we're pretty certain at this point that it will be number 14 Atlee traveling to number 3 defending Northern Region champion Stonebridge. They finished 3rd in the region. Now there's a switch at the top. If you've been following 5A North all season long like we have, then you know that Brooke Point had it running away, and they come in at 9-0, but they still had the Massaponics showdown at the end. And so Massaponics and Brooke Run get together tonight, and Massaponics kills them. I think 41-18 was the final. So Brooke Point stumbles at the end. Massaponics is rolling here. And then right behind them is Stonebridge. Our projected point totals are Massaponics 1 at 338, Brooke Point 2 at 327, and Stonebridge 3 at 325. Now, there's a battle for the 4, 5, and 6 seeds. We're still waiting on one final score, which will help us know if Potomac Falls will clinch the 4. They are in a battle right now with Albemarle. We have Potomac Falls right now at 307, and we're waiting on a score. Could be 309. We have Albemarle finishing at 308, but then behind them we had Broad Run at 306, and we need another score to see if they finish at 308. And I believe we were waiting on Oakton and Herndon, and we got that one. And so, therefore, with Oakton Herndon being done, that will put, let's see, they needed Oakton to win the game, and they did. So Broad Run will finish 34, 35, 37, 38, 40, 42, and plus 266 is 308. So right now, if Potomac Falls, if George Marshall beat Thomas Jefferson of Alexandria, they're the 4 seed. If they didn't, then Albemarle and Broad Run are tied for the 4 seed, and Potomac Falls will slide to 6th. Now, none of that affects Patrick Henry at Atlee. We have Atlee as the 14 seed, and they will go to Stonebridge next week. So, let's send that out real quick. If you don't mind listening to me, send a tweet that Atlee is projected as the number 14 seed in 5A North, and will go to number 3 Stonebridge next Friday. So there we go. Got that one in the books. So for Hanover County, we project Patrick Henry, number 8, home to number 9, Briar Woods, next Friday in the first round in 5A North. Number 14, Atlee, at number 3, Stonebridge, next Friday. And in 5A South, number 5, Lee Davis, same thing as last year, goes to number 4. Douglas Freeman. We've not talked about 6A and 4A. Let's get to them now as our live podcast continues. Manchester. Holy cow. Tom Hall, if you're listening either live or later on as the podcast is recorded and you need a cardiologist, I got a great one. He helped save my life in 2013 when I had a heart attack. And I have a hard time believing you don't need one after the last 2 weeks. Down 18 to Monacan, come back, win by 1. Down late tonight to Cosby, big. They pour it on again in the fourth quarter, take advantage of a Cosby fumble, and Manchester scores. They're down 1. They decide to go for 2, and they did it. What a win. 34-33, Manchester finishes at 9-1. Now, Tom Hall is also thinking, yeah, I might take you up on that cardiologist deal, because here's the deal. Last year, Manchester and Cosby played each other. Cosby won, and it set them up in the 4-5 game in an immediate rematch, which Cosby won. Now, last year, Manchester, they had some problems in terms of injuries, as we all know. They've been much healthier this year. They've had their nicks and cuts and bruises, but they haven't had what they had last year by any stretch of the imagination. As for this game tonight, because C.D. Hilton beat Forest Park, that was the only game to determine who got the final seed out of 6A South. With C.D. Hilton winning and Cosby falling at the end to Manchester, here's the way it works. Manchester, number 1 at 339 points. Colonial Forge and Thomas Dale are tied for 2nd at 321 points. Now, they have no common opponents, and they haven't played each other. So you're going to have to go deep into the 4th and 5th realms of tiebreaking to find out whether Colonial Forge is 2 or Thomas Dale is 2. The two teams interested in finding out what the tiebreaker is are easily number 6 James River and number 7 C.D. Hilton, because one of them will have to come to Chester and the other one's going to have to go to Colonial Forge, who was upset tonight by Freedom Prince William. It's a shame for Freedom Prince William, because huge win over a team trying to be the number 1 seed. They finish 8-2. They get 51 points total for the win, 42 for the win, and then 9 bonus points along the way. And they still can't catch Idle River Bend for that, excuse me, for the number 4 seed. They came into the night with just a faint prayer of that happening, and River Bend got just enough points by 5 points in Idle action. They get points when teams that they had defeated or lost to winning, that sort of thing. So River Bend ends up at 317, Freedom at 312. James River in 6th at 289. C.D. Hilton is 276 in 7th, Cosby 266 in 8th, and Forest Park, where their loss was eliminated. So our projected 6A pairings next week in Conferences 3 and 4, the 8-team sub-region, it'll be Cosby going back against Manchester for the second year in a row. Only last year it was the 4-5 game. This year it is the 8-1 game. Number 7, C.D. Hilton, will play either Colonial Forge or Thomas Dale on the road. Number 6, James River, will get whoever loses the tiebreaker, so they'll go either to Colonial Forge or they will head across the county to Chester to take on the Knights. We know that Freedom Prince William will go to Riverbend in the 5-4 game next week. So the winner of Freedom Riverbend will play the winner of Manchester and Cosby in round number 2. So we're guaranteed at least one Chesterfield team in the second round of the 6A South playoffs, because two are going to play each other. Obviously, one's going to be eliminated, but we're guaranteed one to make the second round. And if it ends up that Thomas Dale's the 3 seed, then we'll be guaranteed 2, but we'll also be guaranteed 2 eliminated, because it'll be another head-to-head county battle. We got to say, hey, 4 out of 5 Chesterfield schools in the 6A classification making the postseason. Chesterfield County gets half the playoff spots in that 8-team subregion of Conferences 3 and 4. We think that's fantastic. Fantastic season for certainly Manchester, who had a lot to prove, and we saw them and had them opening night with their win over Metoaka here live on the RVA Sports Network, and they've come a long way since then. Obviously, the highlight of the year so far, the win over LC Byrd. No way that they can play each other in the playoffs, obviously, because Manchester's in 6A and LC Byrd's in 5A. So they get a chance again to kind of see if they can make the run. Last year, it was Thomas Dale that came out, made the run all the way to the state semifinals. I'll tell you this, though. Manchester does not want to be in that situation, down multiple scores in the fourth quarter or third straight week, because eventually your luck runs out. And I'm not saying they were lucky tonight. I mean, they did get a break with the Cosby fumble. But what I am saying is, and any coach will tell you, that's not the position I want to be in week after week after week, because eventually you're just not able to overcome. So Manchester needs a strong start against Cosby next week. They're going to be at home. They need a big crowd. So Lancer fans who are listening, you need to be out there to support your team next Friday night. Weather right now for next Friday is looking about the same as tonight. Temperatures in the 50s, maybe into the 40s before it's over. No rain in the forecast for next Friday as of this moment. Jim Duncan and Andrew Frieden over at NBC 12 might change that, but it's only what they report. It's not what they decide that we have. So anyway, Manchester, the Lancers, they need your support. And Titans, you need to travel well. Cosby Nation, get over there, because obviously your team proved they can hang with Manchester. They can beat Manchester. They could finish it off next week. Maybe they get the 8-1 upset. Let's go to 4A East. Dinwiddie clinches number 1 tonight with the win over Meadowbrook, which eliminated them from the postseason. Metoaka, Meadowbrook, Mills Godwin out in the postseason in 5A South. And you know what? Let's go back to 5A South. I apologize. I got in the middle of trying to run the 5A North numbers and did not finish that. 5A South, home teams, 1 Highland Springs, 2 by virtue of a tiebreaker Hermitage, 3 LC Byrd, and 4 Douglas Freeman. 5 is Lee Davis. Number 6 is Verina. Even though they lost tonight, they finish at 264 points, and that is better than Henrico, who beat Hanover tonight. They finish at 259. Deep Run also finishes at 259, now that we know that Essex beat Rappahannock, but head-to-head, it will be Henrico-Deep Run. They played each other in week 2. Henrico got the win. So as my grandfather kind of clock on the wall tells me that Friday has become Saturday here on the Central Region Now Live podcast on the RVA Sports Network, we know that Henrico will get the 7th seed by virtue of the tiebreaker, and Deep Run will grab the number 8th seed. But Deep Run, my gosh, what a year. 4 years since they had a winning season. The last 2 years, not only the results, but the team was in disarray. And Chad Hornick comes over from Thomas Jefferson. They start slow. They start 0-2 with big losses to Atlee and Henrico. And we thought, oh boy, how long is it going to take for the rebuilding? Is it a multi-year deal? And then the Wildcats go 6-2 in their last 8 games. They lost to Freeman and Hermitage. And there's no shame in that. Those two teams combined for an 18-2 record this season. And again, dominated Colonial like they normally do. But Deep Run is fighting their way back, and to finish 6-4 and be able to outpoint 5-5 Metoka in a tough central district, be able to outpoint Meadowbrook, even though they went 4-6, they had that brutal schedule at the beginning, and Meadowbrook could have found one win somewhere, somehow. I think, you know, oh man, I just, that's probably the best team in the area that's not going to play in the postseason is Meadowbrook, and that's no offense to you, Metoka. Whatsoever, you would be a very strong number two. But Meadowbrook was the only team to beat the defending 5A state champions. And I know that Juwan Carter was injured in that game, et cetera, but they still held Highland Springs to 7 points. And they still have playmakers, even if they had decided to go into a Wildcat offense and do direct snaps to Willie Harkless and to McKeever and try to get Billy Kemp and others involved. You know, may have been a situation, it was just early in the year and the playbook wasn't there. I don't know. But the bottom line is this. Meadowbrook and Metoka are two extremely good teams that are going to be sitting home next Friday. And even though we have this expanded playoffs, you think about what it would be if we were back 5 years ago and there were only 8 teams admitted in. And 4 in Group 6 and 4 in what we call used to call Division 6 and 4 in Division 5. It was the 4 district champions, which this year would have been Manchester in the Dominion, Dinwiddie in the Central, Highland Springs in the Capital, and Hermitage in the Colonial. Hermitage and Highland Springs and Manchester were usually Division 6 teams, Dinwiddie in Division 5. And then the highest point team after that, there'd be one wild card spot in Division 6, which would have been LC Bird. And then there would have been 3 wild card spots down in Division 5, which was usually it was 4. Most of the time, all the district winners were Division 6. But then we would be looking at, you know, several possible teams who would have filled those positions. And we would have had some great teams like Thomas Dale, who would have been easily Division 6, one of the biggest high schools in the area. They wouldn't be in the playoffs. Cosby wouldn't be in the playoffs. James River wouldn't be in the playoffs. See what I'm saying? Patrick Henry, probably not in the playoffs. Lee Davis, probably not in the playoffs. Unless they had been down in Division 5, and PH was in some years. It would have had a chance. So even with the expanded playoffs, we still have some good teams who don't make it. And I know that you're yelling at me now going, yeah, but look down in 3A where Petersburg won tonight, and they're going to make the playoffs at 3-7. I know. It's an incredibly imperfect system. In a situation to where in the lower classifications, you're going to get teams who go 4-6, 3-7, 2-8, and make the postseason. George Wythe could lose tomorrow to Huguenot, finish 1-9, and still make the 3A playoffs. Thomas Jefferson lost tonight. They'll finish 4-5, but they will make the postseason. And that's a great step forward for that program. By the way, Hopewell, with their win tonight, did everything that they possibly could. We've not been able to have time to run the numbers down in 3A, but we believe that Hopewell will likely be number one just over Brentsville District, but we won't know for sure until we get the official numbers on Sunday. We don't know anything for sure until we get the official numbers on Sunday. But it looks like next week in 5A South, it'll be number 8 Deep Run at number 1 Highland Springs, number 7 Henrico at number 2 Hermitage, number 6 Verina at number 3 LC Bird. There's a classic old school playoff battle that hasn't happened in a while. And number 5 Lee Davis will go to number 4 Douglas Freeman. All right, back to 4A East, fans. Thanks for your patience on that. Dinwiddie clinches number 1. They will host Cortland next week, who finishes in 8th place, 4 points behind King George, even though they beat King George head-to-head and King George lost tonight and Cortland won. They just weren't able to make up the difference. And by 4 points, King George will get the seventh seed. They will go to Eastern View. They won tonight, and they are still undefeated. So we have two 10-0 teams in one 8-team subregion of 4A East, Dinwiddie, Eastern View. Chancellor is the 3 seed. Even though they lost in an incredible shootout tonight, Louisa is the 4 seed. Monacan is the 5. Powhatan cannot catch them. Powhatan wins. They finish in 6th. And then well back behind them are King George in 7th and Cortland in 8th. So with pretty good certainty, we can tell you that first round action in 4A East conferences 19 and 20 next week will be Cortland at Dinwiddie, 8 versus 1, King George at Eastern Views, 7 versus 2, Powhatan at Chancellor, 6 versus 3, and that's going to be a tough test for the Indians. And this one could be the most intriguing game of round one in any level. Monacan at Louisa. Louisa's had a great year. They stumbled tonight. It was a shootout, an incredible. They had over 50 points in the first quarter combined between Louisa and Charlottesville. I believe the final score was 54-42. Now, if I'm Monacan, if I'm Coach Henderson and the Chiefs, I am licking my chops going, oh, man. If Charlottesville upset them and put 54 on them, I know we have to go to Louisa. And if you don't know about the surroundings of what Louisa football is on Friday nights, they have made that an experience to behold, much like Atlee has done in the last half decade. In fact, the Louisa experience, some would say, is even better than the Atlee experience. So they have to go against all of that next week with the home field advantage to the Lions. But the Monacan Chiefs will come in rested with a week off to get their nicks and their dings and their bruises healed and to regroup and get ready for the big contest coming up next week. So Monacan at Louisa should be wild. And the winner of that one would get the winner of Cortland, Dinwiddie. Dinwiddie will be heavily favored in that game. I tell you, if we get to round three and it's Dinwiddie Eastern View and they're both 12-0, Dinwiddie would get the home field unless 4A East decides to cross bracket again. Now, they did that last year, if you'll recall. After two rounds, they crossed bracketed the regions. That's how Hanover ended up having to go to Lake Taylor in round three last year, and that was when that season for the Hawks came to an end. Let me say this. It's really strange to be sitting here talking about playoffs and not talk about Hanover. Off season, I know they lost tonight to finish at 2-8, but I also know if there's anybody who's going to take a one-year anomaly and work on it and take care of it and get them ready for next year, it's Derek Stout at Hanover. They ran out of a lot of bodies in a lot of areas, and it started very early back in August. They lost their top two receivers to injury. Jack Chenault never played. Kirk Schaffner got in about 3 weeks ago. By then, their fate had been sealed. Then they lose Clayton Cheatham to the injury, and he was out the last three or four games. So, you know, you put all that together, and it was just kind of a lost year. And there are teams who have lost years. Those things happen. Patrick Henry had one a few years ago. Lee Davis 2 years ago. All the injuries. Lost their quarterback. Lost a bunch of people along the line on the defense. And, you know, a team that came back last year and finished 8-2, they were 2-8 in 2014. And a lot of people were scratching their heads going, what's wrong with Lee Davis? Because, as you know, they were in or just missed the playoffs each of the last previous 3 years under former coach Zach Hayden. Hayden resigns. Turnage comes in. Lots of injuries. They go 2-8. And Lee Davis Nation's a little nervous. Last year, they're healthy. 8-2. Win a playoff game. Put 5A eventual champion Highland Springs to the test in round two. So anything can happen this time of year. And we fully expect upsets next Friday night. We fully expect road teams to beat home teams. We expect some things to go to form. And as we get closer, we look like we're going to get some titanic battles in rounds two, in round three, as we get closer. Now, here's our schedule, what we will be doing. We'll be live on the air next Friday night on WHAN Radio and on the RVA Sports Network, as usual. We will either be at Patrick Henry, at Douglas Freeman, or at Stonebridge, one of the three. We will be with either Atlee, PH, or Lee Davis. We will make that decision Sunday once the official numbers are out and we confirm that what we believe is going to happen is going to happen. So that's part number one. We will continue to be on WHAN Radio Live for as long as there are Hanover County schools in the postseason. Our contractual agreement with them for the last six seasons has been As long as Hanover County has a school alive, we broadcast a game. Once Hanover County either wins the state title or they're eliminated, then our broadcast on the radio come to a conclusion. Then at that point, we make decisions as to whether we continue online on the RVA Sports Network, frankly, based on game availability, based on matchups, and also based on advertiser support, who can help us cover the costs for our production. There is money involved in broadcasting playoff games with the Virginia High School League that is not involved in regular season broadcasting. That's why you hear us do a lot of volleyball, baseball, softball, lacrosse, etc. in fall and spring, a lot of basketball in the winter. But you'll notice when we get to conference and region tournament time, we're strictly on Twitter simply because it's cost prohibitive for us to have to pay for every single game. Imagine if we paid for seven conference tournament basketball games. You know, we'd be out a lot, and that would be very hard to overcome. So we'll make those decisions on a week-to-week basis, quite frankly. But, of course, if we don't broadcast, we're on Twitter. We're going to be somewhere. We will be tweeting. We'll have our network of reporters, network of volunteers, and we'll keep you covered across the Twitter network on the RVA Sports Network. So, headlines of the hour. Dinwiddie unbeaten. They finished 10-0. They're number one in 4A East. They host Cortland next week. Again, all of this is based on our projections. Also in 4A East tonight, it will be number six Powhatan next week at number three Chancellor. Powhatan getting a win tonight. Louisa Falls and a wild one to Charlottesville. But they'll still be the four seed and host Monacan in the first round next week. Winner gets either Dinwiddie or Cortland. So we do have a chance for Dinwiddie-Monacan in round two in 4A East. We know they won't cross bracket for at least 2 weeks. If they cross bracket, it would be after the second round. In 5A North, we believe Patrick Henry, in spite of the Tomato Bowl loss tonight, has finished number eight by just 2 points and will face number nine Briar Woods, who overcame North Stafford, who started the night eighth and has dropped to 10th. And we project it will be Briar Woods at Patrick Henry in the 8-9 game in 5A North next week. The winner will face the winner of Massaponics and their opponent, the number 16 seed. We haven't extrapolated it down that far yet, but eventually we will. And again, of course, we get the league office numbers on Sunday. Atlee, we project at number 14, and they will go to Stonebridge. 3A East, we project right now that Hopewell will be the top seed. Who they play, still not sure, because George Wythe and Huguenot play tomorrow on Saturday, or now today as we're recording this. So 3A East is not official yet down at the bottom of the bracket. George Wythe gets a win tomorrow over Huguenot, and things can change somewhat drastically. Thomas Jefferson, likely the 5 seed there. Hopewell, congratulations to them. In 5A South, it's number 1 Highland Springs. They'll host number 8 Deep Run, who finished in a tie for 7th with Henrico, but Henrico wins the head-to-head tiebreaker, beating them back in Week 2. Henrico at 7 will take on number 2 Hermitage, who tied for 2nd with L.C. Byrd at 325 points. But Hermitage gets the 2 seed based on common opponents. They both played Meadowbrook and Manchester. Hermitage went 2-0, L.C. Byrd went 1-1. Hermitage gets the break. They'll be at Chester Fritz as a 2 seed with Henrico. In spite of the loss tonight to Highland Springs, Verina stays at number 6, and they go to number 3, L.C. Byrd and Chester. Number 5, Lee Davis, for the second straight year, goes to number 4, Douglas Freeman, in round 1. And over in 6A, we still have a team who doesn't quite know who they're going to play next week, but they know they're at home, and that's Thomas Dale. Will they be 2 or will they be 3? In the end, Manchester, with a big comeback win late, clinches number 1. Number 2 is a tie right now between Colonial Forge and Thomas Dale. And again, with no head-to-head and no common opponents, you got to go deep into the tiebreaker system for the VHSL that, frankly, I don't have the mentality to do tonight. And I got to get to bed because Randolph-Macon football is coming up soon, and I got to be there at 1 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. But Thomas Dale will be home next week. They'll either be the 2 seed and they'll play number 7 CD Hilton, or they'll be the 3 seed and they'll host number 6 James River. So the Rapids are waiting to see who they play. Thomas Dale's waiting to see who they host. Manchester knows they have to turn around and play Cosby all over again for the second year in a row, this time in an 8-1 game. But look what just happened tonight. That's going to be a wild 8-1 first round matchup. By the way, down in 2A East, hadn't said anything about this tonight. Stewart's Draft went to overtime, but they won to wrap up their regular season. And that's probably going to be enough to overtake Idle Goochland for the number one seed in 2A East, which means that if things hold to form and they get to eventually down to the regional final, Goochland would have to travel. But I'm pretty confident that this Goochland Bulldog team could travel very well. They will start their postseason next week at home, likely as the number two seed. All right, friends. Holy cow. Oh, I didn't even mention King William. Holy cow. I have to mention this before we go off the air. And I got to do a couple of quick shout-outs for other fall sports, too. King William tonight beat King and Queen 90-18. I don't know if you heard that score or not. King William, 90-18. I feel bad for King and Queen, I'll be honest with you. Is it enough for King William to get a home game in 2A East? They were achingly close to getting it. We'll find out when the new numbers come out on Sunday from the league office. So, let's see. In the playoffs, we've got the eight teams in 5A South, Atlee and Patrick Henry in 5A North, four Chesterfield schools in 6A South, Dinwiddie, Louisa, Monacan, Powhatan in 4A East, Hopewell, Thomas Jefferson, Petersburg in 3A East, Goochland, King William in 2A East, and this is only VHSL. We're not even talking about the VISAA. And so there's 23 teams whose hope will roll on, and it could be 24 if George Wythe clinches a berth. They play again later Saturday against Huguenot, and they could still win even if they lose. They could make the playoffs. So we'll have 23 or 24 teams in the public school playoffs next week, and we'll have several teams in the VISAA as well. Collegiate St. Christopher game Saturday is going to be huge when it comes to playoff implications there in Division I. Shout-outs really quick. Volleyball, congratulations to all the teams who won conference tournaments this week. I got to tell you, one of the gutsiest performances, the Cosby girls going to Franklin County, the one seed, and winning in five sets. They were up 2-0. They lost sets 3 and 4. You know about momentum in volleyball. Set 5 on the road, lots of Eagle fans in the gym, and the Titans overcame it and got the championship. That means they host a quarterfinal in the 6A South Regional. Ladies, congratulations. Conference 3 boys, James River sweeps Cosby. The Rapids continue to roll, and this is a team that could make it to the Siegel Center. The hottest boys team in volleyball, though, right now in the Richmond area are the Deep Run Wildcats. And I say that knowing that Atlee is undefeated. But I watched Deep Run in the semifinals on Wednesday night. They are a totally different team than they were when they lost in three sets at Atlee to open the season back in August. They're even a better team than they were last week when I saw them upset Douglas Freeman on senior night at Freeman. They turned around Thursday night and swept Freeman for the Conference 11 title. Deep Run is on a run, and Patrick Henry's got to face them in the 5A quarterfinals on Monday night at Meadowbrook, and we'll be there for that doubleheader, Freeman-Atlee on the other side. And if Atlee and Deep Run end up facing in the semis, that is going to be an incredible match. But first, they got to get past Freeman and Patrick Henry, respectively, and Patrick Henry was this close to beating Atlee on Thursday night in the Conference 12 championship. Metoaka girls volleyball, I've enjoyed covering them and watching them this year. Was at the championship on Thursday night. Congrats to them on their four-set win over Prince George. They'll get Douglas Freeman in the 5A South quarters, and it'll be Prince George taking on Deep Run, who won in Conference 11. Monacan, the boys win Conference 20. Midlothian, the girls stormed the Conference 20 tournament title, beating number 2 Hanover and number 1 Powhatan, our number 1 team in our Super 6 poll most of the year, on the road. Great job, Midlothian. You are on a roll heading into 4A tournament play. Goochland down in 2A, trying to get back to Siegel Center. Best of luck to you. Atlee, the girls, number 3 seed in Conference 16, make it to 5A North, eliminating Patrick Henry in another five-set thriller on Thursday night. You had the girls in five sets at Atlee, the boys in five sets down at L.C. Byrd. Atlee victorious on both occasions, but great seasons for Patrick Henry boys and girls volleyball. The boys, of course, continue. The girls, unfortunately, came to an end. Speaking of Patrick Henry, Coach Rossman, I'm so sorry I didn't get a chance to say hi to you tonight at the game. I know you passed me in the press box. The field hockey team, their season coming to an end, losing in the 5A North quarterfinals this week. But what a great season. Best ever in field hockey history at Patrick Henry. 14 wins, where 2 years ago the program was frankly in shambles. And Coach Abby Rossman has done an incredible job getting that together. 6 wins last year, 14 in a regional bid. This year, the sky's the limit for them, which only makes field hockey in Hanover County and in the area even better. And I don't know about if there's Coach of the Year things for field hockey, but if I had one, I would give it, with all due respect to what Prince George has done, what has happened at Patrick Henry is nothing short of incredible. Prince George was very competitive 2 years ago, and last year Patrick Henry was left for dead a couple of years ago. And they won 14 games and hit the regions this year and got a win in the region tournament. Fantastic job. All right, lots of stuff coming up. We'll be at Meadowbrook for volleyball Monday night and Tuesday night. National Signing Day is coming up. Wednesday, a ton of players sign. Thursday night at 6, Megan Walker makes her decision live at Monacan. We'll be there live to bring it to you. We'll have it on our Periscope on the RBA Sportsnet on Twitter. Next Friday night, we'll be live with a game of the week. And then next Saturday, as we close out the podcast, really happy to announce that for the first time publicly, that I am going to be making the trip to Farmville to join Marty Wilson on the call of the game. Randolph-Macon, Hamden-Sydney. Next Saturday afternoon, live from Farmville, we'll be live on Randolph-Macon's website at 12:45 p.m. And if Randolph-Macon can win today against Guilford, they would be playing for the ODAC Championship, which they have not won in 8 years. So either way, it's the game. It's the Yellow Jackets and the Tigers. And the game ball, won by the Randolph-Macon Yellow Jackets the last 2 seasons, is up for grabs. All right, friends, you're all caught up. That's all I got. I got to go to bed. Central Region Now, an exclusive podcast presentation of RBASN. Totally intended for the private use of our audience. Any other use, you got to get the written permission of my wife, who is also known as HCS Media, LLC. Thanks for the ride, everybody. The playoffs start next week, and we'll be there with you all the way to state championship Saturday. Good night.